Paul McGuire. I want to talk about this concept right up front because I believe it's one of the most powerful concepts that has all kinds of powerful truths that you can apply to your reality, that you can apply to your ministry, that you can apply to everything you deal with in the so-called real world. Is it really real, or is it, you know, like simply a virtual world? Is it a computer generated or a computer simulated reality, like the ones depicted in the Matrix movies and the new Matrix movie, Matrix 4, and it deals with this concept of there's the real reality, and then there's the reality people think is reality, but they're really in a brainwashed trance state because they're plugged into this electrical, digital, DNA, artificial world that's called the Matrix. And they have a choice. When you live in the world of the Matrix, you can choose to take the blue pill, and the blue pill will sedate you and make you in love with the present world system. You don't think, you're just like, you know, a happy cartoon character. And then, if you decide to take the red pill in the Matrix movies, Resurrections, it's interesting how these big feature films continually use just in-your-face Christian terms. So in the latest movie, as in the others, if you take the red pill, it will open your eyes to the truth. And for this movie. And so the truth of the Matrix is that you're not really living in the world, the physical world that you were relatively happy in. You were not really living there to begin with. That was like a mind-controlled environment. That was a matrix. That was a virtual reality. It was an illusion, an illusory world. And when you take the red pill, you see it. But it's very painful because it's good, it's bad, and ugly. And then you see part of the truth is that you haven't been walking around and doing things and stuff. The actual objective reality in the Matrix is your body is strapped to this like giant chair. It looks like an operating surgical chair if you were to knock somebody out or something, and the reality is you're sitting there like comatose in this surgical type chair with all kinds of tubes and wires going into your physical body. You're artificially being kept alive, and that's the truth, but people don't want to see that. They want to stay in the world of illusion, and that illusion is a deliberately man-generated system called the Matrix. It's a virtual reality. And so even though the book, the movie, and the books are fictional, they're certainly not biblically accurate by any means, they touch on that nerve that exists in the lives of hundreds of millions of people on planet Earth. There's this kind of instinctual knowing that the reality that we live in is not quite the real reality, and that maybe that the reality that we live in is like artificial, possibly even computer-generated reality, and that somewhere along the line, the really real reality is still waiting to be discovered. So that's what the Matrix movies did. They touch on that quest for truth. And let's face it, the world that we live in now may not be like a slam dunk type of matrix like depicted in the latest movie. The matrix-like quality of the world that we live in is a composite of social media input, video, television, music industry stuff, feature films, episodic TV, news, information, so-called facts, news report, so-called news reporting. And that all comes together to form a matrix-like illusion about life. And so the shocking reality is that the fact of the movie in the Matrix is that so many millions of people on planet Earth are walking around in a zombie state, like a trance state. They're like not home, upstairs in the brain, and they're living in an illusion. So they've been hypnotized, to be blunt. Time I was growing up in New York City, from earliest of childhood, not once did I ever meet a so-called born-again or Bible-believing Christian. Not once. Not once did somebody come up to me and witness to me. Not once did anybody ever talk to me about God. The only thing that did happen a couple of times, people left some tracts on the subway, which I read, to my surprise, and thought about. And occasionally somebody would be like street preaching. And I remember the Spirit of God touching me. We were coming down this massive escalator system called the Port Authority in Manhattan. And thousands of people are on the escalators, you know, because there's long rows of escalators. And they're coming down or going up. And this happened when I was about, oh, I don't know, I was probably 18, 17, I think. But there was a lady, see, I can still remember this today, and this was decades ago. There was a lady at the bottom of where the escalators let people off, and she was preaching to thousands of us. So she had a loud voice, but she used her loud voice in a way that was not annoying. It was loud because she was trying to get the attention and trying to be heard by thousands of people in a weird auditory environment. But remember, I'm not a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm not a Christian. I'm kind of very especially cynical about Christianity. So I'm going down the escalator. I can see this lady way down at the bottom. And she's preaching. Now, I can't remember the rest of her message, and I only heard her for, you know, I don't know, a couple of minutes, right? But as I was going down, I do remember these words that she spoke to this day. And I thought about these words, this street, when I say street preacher, I'm talking about she was professionally dressed as a businesswoman, etc. But she was speaking to the everybody in the escalators. And this is, I remember what she said. I thought about it many times over the years. She said these words, "Walk circumspectly, for the days are evil." Now you got to understand, like But she was so anointed with the Holy Spirit that when she said loudly but with grace, she said, "Walk circumspectly, for the days are evil." Her words pierced my heart and my mind. Her words embedded the truth of Jesus Christ in my inner man. Even when I was in rebellion from God, I wasn't a Christian, I was an atheist. I remember what she said, and I thought about it, and continue to think about it. Now, how is it I can remember three words? Because what she did do was she spoke the Word of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the power of God's Word just landed in my heart and mind and deposited there. It's just like, it was like there was this invisible sword, and she just cut open my inner man and deposited this truth from God's Word. And what that did, because I can still remember today, is the Lord has used those words. It drew me like a magnet, and I have meditated on those exact words many, many times. They helped bring me to Christ. They helped teach me about Bible prophecy. And she said again, "Walk circumspectly, for the days are evil." So be circumspect. Look where you're going, basically. She's saying, look carefully where you're going. It may look safe, but it's not. Because then she gives me the reminder, because you're in the last days. And because you're in the last days, the days are evil. And because you live in a time period where the days are evil, don't assume that where you're walking is safe and secure. Don't make that false assumption. Don't be lulled to sleep like everybody else. And I was lulled to sleep. So I thought about what she said many times. Walk circumspectly, for the days are evil. So look where you're going carefully, because there's tremendous evil work in the earth, evil plans, evil peoples, demonic spirits, fallen angels. So wake up. The Lord was speaking to me through her, and the Lord was essentially saying to me, through all that, the Lord was saying, wake up, Paul. Pay attention to what she's saying. I'm speaking to you. Now, I did not hear the audible voice of the Lord when I relate this to you. This is something a lot of people don't seem to understand. And when you don't understand the usage of those words, you're going to lack an accuracy, and you're going to lack a credibility in your communication, and you're going to turn people off unnecessarily, because a lot of people talk like they're so chummy with God, and I believe you should be in a tight, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, but you're not God's buddy, and he's not your buddy. You know, this is an American idea. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. People are going to tremble before him. I mean, I won't go into the graphic detail of, there will be trembling and shaking as the wicked stand before his righteousness, his glory, his lordship. I mean, you don't mess with, to the bone marrow of American society, there's a lack of a fear of the Lord, a lack of respect for the Lord. And so we arrogantly toss out his name in swear words and stuff. You better be careful. You're talking to God Almighty. So anyway, the Lord was warning me through this woman. And that happened. Those kinds of warnings, those kinds of situations, as I look back, they would regularly appear or pop up in my life. Because even before I was saved, the same thing is happening to some of you right now listening to me. In fact, it's happening to you right now. Before I was saved, I consistently heard the Lord calling me to himself, calling me by name to himself, reaching out to save me. The Lord was continually doing that through all these different circumstances that would happen. And eventually, as I found myself dealing with problems, struggles, chaos, and all the rest of this stuff, I very slowly began to turn to God. But, you know, all those things add up. Every single person who spoke to me, the life of God in Jesus Christ, every person who spoke to me, whether I was part of a group or whatever, that the Lord's words landed in my heart and prepared me and pulled me into the kingdom of God, pulled me into accepting Jesus. And I never regret it. Now, I want to talk about another very important aspect of this great spiritual battle we're in. The reality is that we're in the greatest battle that we ever have been in, and America is in the greatest battle that it's ever been in. I've been writing on these themes for the last 30 years, and I've had an enormous burden from the Holy Spirit to speak on certain subjects. But a critical area of the spiritual battle is the human imagination, the creativity of God, the fact that God is the creator, and understanding that the battle we're waging is not only spiritual, it's not only a spiritual battle, it's an intellectual battle, it's a logical, rational battle, but it's also an incredible battle for the human imagination. And so when you're waging war in order to capture the human imagination, you're using intentionally creativity, creative gifts as spiritual weapons to set people free from the lies. And what's the greatest lie of all? That there is no God, that Jesus is not God. That's the greatest lie of all. So one of the key things that we need to do, that God is calling me and you to do, is to understand that God is creative, with a capital C, to really understand what that means, and that God uses creativity to win souls, to reach people, to touch them. So the battlefield is not only spiritually inside of us, the battlefield is also in the imagination. Christians don't understand to the extent that they should the enormous power of the human imagination and God's imagination, and the enormous power in creativity, and the fact that God is a creator. The music in the church, which is so important to Almighty God, the worship of God and the music of the church is trying to clone itself genetically from the spirit of the world. That doesn't work. It's not going to work. They need to be anointed, like that lady. The lady, you know, didn't have a $50,000 sound system. She just had her vocal cords, and she spoke to us on, you know, watch where you're going. So the critical thing here is that every time there's a television series, an episodic TV series, an impactful feature film, music industry productions, mainstream media, news, all of these things function as like sensory inputs to our brain. And what they're doing very strategically is they're not just presenting to you what they think, what you think they are. They're not just presenting to you, a spy movie, a murder mystery, a love story, or whatever is up in front. That's only part of what they're presenting before you. The power of media is that it can be a conveyor or a communicator of enormously powerful subconscious messages or hypnotic messages that enter your brain and hearing beneath the surface of your logical mind. So you're not necessarily aware or fully aware consciously that your inner man or inner woman is being inputted with all kinds of belief systems, ideologies, fashions, behaviors. You're being molded, shaped, led, and guided by the subconscious messages of a global mass media. And you're being shaped, and your children are being shaped according to their vision. Now, so who is their vision? Well, as I talk about in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, and in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, and Conquering the Matrix, all discounted for you at paulmaguire.us, as I talk about that people who are scientific experts in fields like scientific mind control, Aldous Huxley would be one of the fathers of that. The technique from the psychologist Dr. Milton Erickson, conversational hypnosis. He could, within 15 seconds, drop somebody into a hypnotic state, and he could hypnotize them after only 15 seconds or less of interaction. Now, it's important for you to know, knowledge is power. You have no knowledge, you're a buffoon waiting to be taken to the circus. And you know a lot of people, I know a lot of people, who've been in that circus for an awfully long time. So the critical thing here is that when you're slipping information under the conscious mind into the subconscious mind, it is a deliberate hypnotic technique designed to brainwash you, to program you, and to transform you according to whatever their vision for you is. So, for example, and when I said, who are who are these people that are controlling all these Orwellian mechanisms of social engineering, hypnosis, etc.? Who are these people? Well, you should know who they are. Who they are starts way back in the Bible. And the first time we get to kind of come to grips with who they are emerges in Genesis chapter 11 in the account of ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. And ancient Babylon was the world's first one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system. And it was the world's first new world order. And ancient Babylon adhered to a occultic, demonic, satanic, Luciferian spiritual system known as Mystery Babylon. And you see a whole lot of the book of Genesis talking about Mystery Babylon. In my new book, To Simplify Understanding, I equated some of the aspects of the system of Mystery Babylon. I equated it to a form of a software matrix creating an artificial reality, and the primary engineer or architect of the Mystery Babylon system of a matrix is that it is built on lies, it's built on sorcery, It's built on deception. And all of this is taught and passed on from kingdom to kingdom through a network of secret societies. And these secret societies, which started in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel, these secret societies are still at work today. And in fact, in many cases, the men who are at the top of these secret societies on a global level, they are the ones that are ruling the world, controlling the world. And they're leading it as Nimrod did in ancient Babylon. They're leading it in the direction of a global Luciferian system. That's why it's not an accident. When you look in the back of a U.S. dollar, somebody was asking me today on a radio interview, they were asking me what I thought about the prospect of Luciferian systems and secret societies. And I simply said that what the secret societies were passing down from empire to empire was the secret occultic system of Mystery Babylon. Because in ancient Babylon, at the time of the Tower of Babel, the people came together as one and were part of the world's first edition of the New World Order was ancient Babylon. But the problem was God came down and judged ancient Babylon, because God could see that the people of Babylon, ancient Babylon, were worshiping Lucifer in their hearts and that they wanted to be God. It was ancient Babylon was a system, but it was a system that was a massive rebellion against the true God. And so when we look at what is Mystery Babylon, Mystery Babylon can be understood as in terms of a matrix. Why? Real reality is the world that we empirically see, empirical evidence with our senses. Real reality is that which is true and real. It's not a delusion, it's not an illusion, it's not a mirage or whatever, it's not a hallucination. So if we're interested in truth, which we are, then we're interested in real reality. So how you determine real reality versus the matrix? Well, think back at the original reality, which is real reality, of mankind. It was a paradise. It was the Garden of Eden. The first man and woman were Adam and Eve, created in the image of God. And it was beautiful and majestic beyond description. So the template that the Creator created, capital C, for real reality was paradise, was the Garden of Eden. Ghettos, war zones, places where there have been tremendous crimes and horrors and on and on and on, decaying inner cities and things of this nature, they are real. But they are not a product of God's reality. They're a product of Lucifer's reality. They are a projection of Lucifer's instructions. Lucifer's occult principles are being projected into the physical world, and they're pretending. They're really a satanic illusion, but they're pretending to be real. I'm not saying that all this stuff isn't real. It's real. But remember, the only reason that Lucifer or Satan was allowed to become the temporary god of this world is because Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, paradise, deliberately rejected the word of God and ate from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. They were seduced. They were spiritually deceived by the serpent of old, Satan, who was indwelling a reptilian being. that was talking to Eve and seducing Eve spiritually. And the Luciferian being, the serpent of old, convinced Adam and Eve that if they disobeyed God and ate from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, that they would become like gods, knowing good and evil, and that God was really withholding from them. They were getting the short end of the stick. But that was all the lies of Lucifer, the spiritual deception of Lucifer. So the fall of man occurred. Adam and Eve lost all their supernatural powers. They lost their immortality. They lost the Garden of Eden. Their bodies began to degrade and die. They now died. They would reproduce, but their grandchildren and so on and so forth, they all will eventually die because death, Adam and Eve activated the law of sin and death. Jesus Christ solved that through the blood of the Lamb that takes away our sins. So the critical thing here is to let the truth penetrate the darkest of hearts and minds. People's hearts and minds have been captured by spiritual darkness, but the gateway to capture them through spiritual darkness, the gateway was their imagination. So the warfare, the intense spiritual battle or intense spiritual warfare that is occurring in the imagination part of the mind of every person alive, where Jesus presents himself in his creativity and his truth and his love, but they're battling back and forth because the devil is initiating a counterfeit assault where he tries to spread lies, lying images, lying art, lying film, lying entertainment. He's bombarding the imagination of hundreds of millions of people with spiritual deception, false prophets, lies, and so on and so forth. Because Satan has been legally entitled to be the temporary or short-term God of this present world system. So this present world system that you live in and I live in has a clock clicking on it. It's on a timer. It's not going to last forever. It's a temporary world system in which Lucifer is temporarily the God of this world. So temporarily, he has all these powers. Because God is love, he wants to save as many people as he possibly can. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth on him should have eternal life." So God so loves every person, you. He loves you so intensely that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins so that by faith you could become born again and have eternal life and live in heaven with Jesus forever and ever. That's all being done out of the love of God. So temporarily, Satan is ruling this world through a mystery Babylon type of matrix, which is based on lies. However, the Word of God tells us in the book of Revelation and numerous other places is that Jesus is coming back. And when Jesus comes back, he will wage war with the Antichrist, the false prophet, the fallen angels, the demons, the Nephilim, the Rephaim, and all those military armies, etc., that when they see Christ coming back, they're going to militarily attack Jesus Christ. Crazy stuff, huh? But Jesus is coming back along with the armies of heaven, and he's going to descend on the valley of Megiddo, where Armageddon, the final great battle in the Bible, takes place. And it said, at the battle of Armageddon, that Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, at Armageddon, Jesus will defeat Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, all those who have accepted the mark of the beast. all those who are worshiping false gods. Jesus is coming back with the armies of heaven, and Jesus will win the military victory against the fallen angels in the armies of hell at Armageddon. They will all be sentenced into like a cosmic prison, a cosmic supermax prison. And they will be sentenced there for all eternity. And they can't break out of this hell, which is in another dimension, because God cannot allow people that are worshiping and following Satan to roam free among the galaxies and the universe. What would happen inevitably is that these followers of Satan would end up trying to break down through the pearly gates into heaven. They try to break into heaven. They try to take over heaven, and they would try to invade heaven. Now, God can't even allow that to even be entertained, because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is going to do away and put an end to Satan's power before the prospect of that can happen. And so he confines all these people in a prison in another dimension, so that they are blocked out. If you read the book of Revelation carefully, people that are into such heavy-duty rebellion from God are blocked out from getting into heaven. So that's a safety device for all of God's people. God isn't even remotely threatened by Satan. The only reason he's waiting before he returns is because he loves men and women, boys and girls, so incredibly much that he wants every single person that could possibly be saved to be saved. That's the only reason God isn't shutting down this wicked Babylonian earthly system right now, for that reason. So Bible prophecy is exploding before our very eyes. You and I, the challenge for you and I is to learn to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in a way where we receive the Lord's vision, the biblical vision, God's directions, God's imaginations, God's ideas, that we allow God to download into our body, soul, and spirit all kinds of creativity and creative ideas. That helps you solve problems. That helps you make plans. That helps you win souls. Because with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. So you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Take advantage of all our financial discounts off books and other products. Take advantage of all the free teaching, the free archives, the free articles and pictures. We got endless hours of teaching, ministering, information and media that will build you up, supernaturally fortify you in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we all need in this time that we live in. We need to be fortified and built up in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to allow the Word of God in Jesus Christ to inspire our imagination. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Remember, Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On that note, let's go out praising him, at least in our hearts. Let's praise the Lord out loud and worship him, because he is worthy. And what do you see all the people in heaven singing as they're standing before the throne room of God? They're singing to the Lord, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb." And they're singing it over and over again about the Lord is worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. They're worshiping God. They're pouring their hearts out to God. And when you do that, and when you do that now, and when I do that, we're filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. as we praise God audibly, as we praise God and worship Him, it opens the door, portal if you wish, it opens the door for you to be filled with overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. So it is my prayer right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, that the same power of the Holy Spirit that is filling this studio, the same power of the Holy Spirit that is flowing through me and many people listening who are praying for us, it is my prayer that the same Holy Spirit that is ministering to people in many different locations, it's my prayer that that same Holy Spirit touches you now in the name of Jesus, and that right now in the name of Jesus, you receive power from on high, that you're clothed with power from on high, and God is anointing you right now with the power of His Holy Spirit. And it's not fictitious, it's real, because you can experience right now the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And as you can feel that right now in your body and mind, that power of the Holy Spirit is breaking any yoke, any burden of bondage that you may be carrying or fighting. So the power of God's Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, is flowing through whatever medium, like media, that you're watching or listening through, and you are being supernaturally touched right now in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of God. You are supernaturally being touched. You're supernaturally being energized. You're supernaturally being infused with power from on high. You say, Paul, how can you know that? Because I've walked with Jesus for decades and decades. I know how God works, like many of you do. And every time I've come to the Lord in prayer and asked Him for something, God is awesomely good. And He can't wait for you to ask Him. And it is His delight to fill you, to heal you with the power of His Holy Spirit. So God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.